will be this morning in Psalm 1. You've got King James Bible, you can read along with us. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Encourage you to be here tonight at 6. We'll be back asking the Lord to help us. But let's look in the Word of God at this time. Psalm chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." To help the Lord, I want to preach on this thought this morning on the happy life. The happy life. Or you might title it this, the way to happiness. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd help us this morning. Afresh and anew, we come to you. Lord, we thank you for this new day. We thank you, Lord, for this new year that we have just begun. And God, we ask for your direction. We ask for your guidance. We ask you, Lord, fill us afresh and anew with the Holy Ghost of God, realizing that we can do nothing without you. But God, we need your power. We need your presence. And I pray you'd help us. I pray for those that are here this morning. I pray, Lord, there may be some lost that, Lord, they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray, God, you convict them and draw them to your Son Jesus before it be too late. And then, Lord, I pray for Christians, and no doubt there's many here this morning that profess to be saved, but they're walking afar off. They're not where they ought to be. They're not close as they could be. They don't enjoy the fellowship. They're not enjoying the blessings of what you have for them. I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, today, Lord, to have an examination. I pray, God, by the Holy Ghost, and speak to our hearts. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to be receptive. And help us to be obedient when you speak to our hearts. Do it all for your glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' precious and mighty name. That name's above every name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Blessed is the man. What a way to start this psalm as the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man." And that word blessed simply means happiness or blessedness. And we look in this psalm, and when he uses the word blessed, we could say the word like this, blessed. Same word, blessed. And the idea is happy. Oh, how very happy he is. And I understand there's a lot of people gloom and doom, and they'll go around with a Bible under their arm, and they'll try to tell you that God's not interested in you being happy. And I want to say there's too much in the Bible that speaks about the man that can be happy if he listens and he obeys God's Word for me to believe that. God tells us how to be happy. Now, with that being said, we understand some things from the Word of God, that this blessed man, this happy man, his choices determine his lifestyle, and thus the results are reaped because of his choices. You need to understand this morning that your choices are leading you somewhere today. They not only just determine the day you live today, but the choices you make today will determine the life you live and the destiny that you achieve. And we could go over in the book of Proverbs, even in chapter 1, but especially chapter 2 and chapter number 4, and you'll find out that there are two paths that the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, writes about. He writes about one path that has been perverted, and one path that is perverted, and it leads to darkness, it leads to destruction and despair and doom and death. But then he contrasts that with another path, and that other path is a path that is proven and it is preserved, and it is a path of protection, and it leads to light and to life, and it leads to lasting happiness. The world, as we know it, this world system, they have many ideas concerning what will bring happiness. They will tell you this person will bring you happiness. Find a relationship with these people and be with these people and you'll be happy. They will tell you that it takes possessions to be happy. That if you have a certain amount of money or a certain amount of toys or a certain amount of guns or a certain amount of pocketbooks or 88,000 pairs of shoes, lady, you'll be happy. I got news for you. It's not in people. It's not in possessions.
Not even in your position. A lot of people think, well, if I can achieve this position, and so they go through college and they work on this degree, and then the one degree is not good enough, they go to another degree and another degree, and they get so many degrees, they could be a thermometer. They climb the ladder of society. They climb the ladder in the workplace. They climb the ladder in the community. They climb the ladder all throughout society. And they'll find at the top of the ladder, there's just another ledge, there's another step, there's something else they're looking for. Because true and lasting happiness, it's not found in people. It's not found in possessions, and it's not found in a position. Most of these things that the world offers us are built around temporal things. The ideas and the ideologies of the world are temporal. They never fully and never permanently satisfy. The world's idea of happiness is based upon happenings. And so if you'll get in what's happening at the moment, you can experience their temporary happiness. And happiness is built on happenings. But I got news for you this morning. That God in heaven above, He offers us a true happiness. It's not just happiness, but we could call it joy. We could call it blessedness. He offers us happiness that lasts forever. It's a deep, sincere, a lasting joy that is based not on the circumstances around us, but on the Christ within us. And on the change that He makes in our life. How many of you know that there was a time in your life you was walking one way, you was doing things your way. You was headed to hell with no brakes. And the God of heaven came in and He intervened in your life. And the God of heaven met you and He changed your life. And since then, you can say, since Jesus came in to my heart, there's been a change. There's been a difference. There's been a radical difference in my life since Jesus came into my life. And I thank God for the change that He's made in my life. And God offers us, Christians, child of God, He offers you true, lasting and genuine happiness. It's not the happiness of the world. It's not the happiness that's based on watching a ball drop and a bottle empty. Wake up the next morning and can't remember where you was, who you was with, and what you did. That's not happiness. Satan is the prince and the power of this air, and he wants you to chase around. He wants you to follow the ideas of the world. He's got a lot of lures. He's got a lot of things, and the Bible calls them the wiles of the devil, and he's got a lot of strategies he's trying to throw out in your way, and he's trying to get you to chase this. And if you do this, if you look this way, if you gain this, if you buy this, if you live here, if you're with this person, you'll be happy. And you'll get there at the end of that, and you'll find out that that was only temporary, based upon the happenings around you. But there is true joy within. You need to understand Proverbs 13, verse 15 says that good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The Bible said in Proverbs 14, 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of people chasing this world system around, and they're chasing every lure, and they don't wonder. They're all wondering why they can't figure out why when they do this and why they do that, it's happy, happy, happy for the night, but the next week they're in depression. They can't wonder. They can't seem to figure out why. They can't seem to figure out why they are where, the way they are. The way of the transgressor is hard. People say, well, I'd live for God, but it's so hard. No, it's hard not to live for God. When you learn what it's like to be saved, I'm telling you, the Bible does say that, yea, that all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we understand the truth of that. But the Bible also tells us that we can endure trials as a Christian, and we can do it with joy because we have Christ within us. We know the change He's made. We know the position we're in Christ. And the basis of my happiness and my joy is not on the circumstances around me, but it's the Christ within me and the relationship that I have with Him. Psalm 1 is the wisdom psalm. When we come to the psalm, the psalmist is contrasting the way of life of the righteous man who chooses to follow God's Word with that of the ungodly man who rejects God's Word. The ungodly, he said, shall perish, while the righteous man who follows God's Word will be blessed. So the question I have this morning is, what is the way to happiness? How can I have a truly, genuinely, sincerely happy life? Once again, I'm not talking about where everything in your life is happy, happy, happy. I'm talking about where no matter what the circumstances around you are, you can know and experience joy within. And I'll just say this up front. If you neglect and reject God's Word, your attitude is, I can take it or leave it. I got news for you. Just because you remember a Bible story from Sunday school when you was a child does not mean you're walking in the Word of God. And if your idea is that you can take it or leave it, and you are neglecting it or rejecting God's Word, you will never be truly happy. We've got scores of people in the church, and they'll come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night if you can pry them in, and they'll say, "Preacher, bless me if you can." And the rest of the week, they don't pick up the Bible, they don't look at the Word of God, they don't have the ear for what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to them. There's no direction from heaven. And if that's you, I want to help you. You will never know true joy and happiness in such case. But God does offer you happiness. He offers the blessed life. He said, blessed is the man. Let's talk about the blessed man for about an hour and a half this morning. Notice the happy man is, number one, his fellowship is guarded. His fellowship is guarded. Notice what the Bible says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The first thing we see about this blessed man and his fellowship that is guarded is negatively, he avoids the progressive path of sin. He stays off the progressive path of sin. He does not behave, he does not believe, he does not become, and he does not belong to the world of the ungodly and the wicked man. If you're a Christian and you know what it means to be saved, and you're trying to dabble in the things of the world, and you're trying to behave like them, and you're trying to listen to them, and you're trying to do the things they do, and go to the places they go, and try to just conform, and just you just don't want to ruffle the feathers, you don't want to rock the boat, if you want to be like them, I got news for you. You will never know the blessedness and the true happiness that God offers you. Somebody should have said amen. This man is a separated man. He's not isolated, but he's separated. Notice something about his strolling. The Bible said, he walketh not. He walketh not. Speaking of the way he strolls through life. It's speaking of, he does not pass by. He does not traverse, or the walk of his life is not one that walks by and listens to the counsel of the ungodly. He said, he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're going to hear voices all around the world. And if you listen to the wrong voices, you will make the wrong choices. You say, well, I'm saved, preacher. I don't care how saved you are. If you listen to the wrong voices, you'll make the wrong choices. And you will reap. You're not going to avoid it. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the blessed man is the man that does not walk in the counsel. That's the advice and the purposes of the ungodly. We got too many Christians trying to dabble with Hollywood, and too many Christians trying to let Dr. Phil or Oprah or somebody on the television trying to tell them how to run their life and how to be happy. I got news for you. God's master plan for your life is not in People magazine. It's right here in this blessed old Bible. And if you want help for your life, if you want guidance for your life, you're going to have to get in this King James Bible. You're going to have to find out what God said for your life. And I'm telling you this morning, the blessed man, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's the idea of the man. He doesn't, when he walks back and they began to speak to him, he said, "No, I don't have time for that. That don't line up with what my Bible says. I'm not listening to that. I'm not sitting in there." And we try to compromise. We try to water things down. We don't want to hurt everybody's feelings. I got news for you. If they're against God, they're against a child of God. I'm not trying to be mean this morning. Hey, we ought to love everybody. But if they got to come in and say, "Well, I know you're a Christian and everything, but I don't believe that." And you say, "Well, I know we don't believe that." And we're just trying to water it down and make everything real palatable. No, that blessed man, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man is hid in the Word of God. So we see something about his stroll. He's not going to walk in the counsel of the godly. And then not only that, we see something about his standing. He said, "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Standeth in the way. So he was walking, but now The picture here is standing. He said, not only does he not walk by them, but he doesn't stand there with them. The idea of standing is this: as you walk, you stop and you abide, you remain somewhere. You take a stand. In other words, to tarry. In other words, the opposite of this is he would walk by, he would listen to their counsel, and after he listened, he would stand and listen. But the blessed man is not going to walk, and he's sure enough not going to stand in the way of sinners. He's not going to be there in that capacity. And then, not only that, we see something about his sitting. His sitting. He's not going to stroll by the counsel of the ungodly. He's not going to stand in the way of the sinners. And he's not going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. See, the sit is the comfortably abide. See, you can be walking somewhere and just walking by and hear something. You make a choice. Am I going to tune in? Am I going to stand? And then if you're not careful, that standing turns into, well, I kind of like what they're saying. I think I'll see it. And you get comfortable. And I'm telling you that we've got scores of people in our churches that have done just that. They used to wouldn't even turn on a television. I'm not telling you to throw your televisions out. But I'm telling you they wouldn't even turn on a television. Now they got a television and they got the internet and they got this. And they listen to this music and they go to this movies and they listen to this. Are you listening? And it's not counsel that's coming from heaven. It's counsel that's coming from the world's counsels. And they have got comfortable. They walked by it. They stood by it. And before long, they're comfortable and they're sitting. But the blessed man is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His fellowship is guarded. His course of life is not like the world's. He loves sinners, but he's not like them. I'm talking about how to be happy now. If you want to be happy, his fellowship is guarded. His seat, the idea of a seat here, is the seat of a place of assembly and a dwelling place. There was a seat to be situated or located in. The blessed man is not located where the ungodly are. That is not his dwelling place. He may rub shoulders with them in society where he must. He may go eat a dinner once in a while. He may have to go somewhere. He may have to go to a grocery store. But it is not going to be his common, normal happenstance to be found in them and where they are and in their activities. His fellowship is guarded. Let me give you some examples. Think about a man named Lot. Y'all remember Lot? Abram's nephew. The Bible said that Abram gave Lot the choice. They were at odds. They were trying to decide who was going to have what and where they was going. Abram said, all right, Lot, you take first pick. And the Bible said that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. You can go back and read it in the book of Genesis. Chapter 13, verse 12 said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But you go over a few chapters into Genesis chapter 19, verse number 1, and you'll find that not only was his tent pitched towards Sodom, that place of wickedness, but now when God's judgment was about to fall on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was sitting in the gate. A place of rank, a place of position. He had become at home in the world in which he was living. It cost him. You know the story. How about Peter? Y'all remember Simon Peter? Remember when Jesus was crucified? Simon Peter denied him just like Jesus had told him that he would. In Mark chapter 14, verse number 45, the Bible said of Peter that he followed afar off. Followed afar off. He told Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'm going to be with you all the way to death, man. I'm with you, man. But then he denied the Lord and he followed afar off. And then you get over to John 18:18, and there's some people standing. And they are the enemies of Christ. And the Bible said that Peter stood with them. And then when you get over into Luke 22:25, he wasn't just falling afar off and he wasn't just standing, but you'll find Peter sitting down by the enemy's fire, warming his hands with the enemies of Christ. He walked, he stood, and he sat. And you know what happened? When Jesus got his attention, when Jesus looked at Peter, the Bible said that he repented. The Bible said this. The Bible said when Jesus looked at him, he went out and he wept bitterly. He didn't have to, but he did. Because of the choice that he made. You don't have to walk afar off. You don't have to stand with sinners. You don't have to sit in their seat. You say, how you know, preacher? Let me give you a positive. Have you ever heard of Joseph? You remember back in Genesis chapter number 39? Old Joseph was down there in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife, remember, she came to him day by day. Genesis 39:10. Day by day she beckoned to him. Day by day she tried to get him to lay with him. Day by day she tried to get him to succumb to the lust of the flesh. Day by day he refused temptation. Old Joseph, he didn't sit. He didn't stand. He didn't stay there. You know what he did? Old Joseph ran. And people say, well, he ran. He's a coward. No, he ran, but he later ruled. Somebody said this. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. And he kept his calling. God had his hand on Joseph. Joseph's fellowship was guarded. Joseph walked with God. I see the blessed man here in Psalm 1. Hey, if he's going to be blessed, he's going to have to guard his fellowship. Because it doesn't matter who you are and how smart you think you are and how good of a Christian you think you are. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He that walketh with wise men, Proverbs 13:20, shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You're not so big that it won't happen to you. If you walk with the wrong crowd, if you stand in the wrong place, and if you sit in the wrong seat, you will eventually reap the repercussions of making the wrong choices. But if you'll be like this blessed man, you say, I'm not walking by. I'm not walking in that castle. That's not going to be my habit. I'm not standing there. I'm not sitting there. I'm not getting to that point. I'm guarding my fellowship. I'm guarding who I listen to. I'm guarding who I walk with. I'm guarding it. You can be blessed. Notice this, number two, that his focus is Godward. His fellowship is guarded. His focus is Godward in verse number 2. He said, but, you see that? He's not going to walk this way. He's not going to stand there. He's not going to sit there. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. But, positive. This is the positive aspect. He loves and desires the Word of God. And he has the Word of God as his basis for faith and practice in all of his life. Ask you a question this morning. Is the Word of God precious to you? Is the Word of God the most valuable possession in your life? Do you value it? Do you crave it? Do you desire it? Do you ask God to speak to you through the Word of God? This blessed man, his life is not dictated by the world, but rather it is directed by the Word. You say, preacher, I don't know. Well, go in your children's bedroom and see who's on the wall. I don't know why it's so quiet. I think I walked in the Methodist church this morning. Let's look at your checking account. Let's see where you spend your money. Let's see what's on your radio dial. Let's see what's on your television. Let's find out, are you being dictated by the world and what it says, or are you being directed by the Word of God and the way it leads you? And the Spirit of God will never lead you. You say, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. Well, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. Think about his delight. He said, but his delight. Think about this. Right here, I'm just reading you the Bible. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, that's his pleasure, his longing, his desire. It speaks of a valuable thing. That thing that is most precious to him. It's not being somebody in society. It's not having another toy. Let me remind you, the kid. Hey, I know men say, well, the man with the most toys wins when he dies. I want to help you this morning. The man with the most toys when he dies still dies. And so the blessed man realizes this, and his life is not dictated by what I have to have and who I have to be with and what I have to do and who I have to impress. But his life finds delight in the Word of God. Do you find delight in God's Word this morning? I mean, do you dread reading it? Do you dread hearing it preached? Or do you look forward to getting up in the morning and opening the Word of God and saying, God, speak to me through your Word. Holy Spirit of God, guide me through my life. Guide me and direct me through your Word. Speak to me. You go to church and say, God, give me something from the Scriptures. God, give me something from your Word. I need something. You got too many people saying, well, that's legalist. No, I ain't worried about a bunch of that. I'm worried about this. I'm just worried about who has a heart that is sensitive enough to ask God to speak to me through your Word and allow me to be led by it. And then I noticed his direction. He said his delight is in the law of the Lord. Law speaks of the law, or it could be the Old Testament law, or the law of that directs us and instructs us. Guidance. So we see his delight, we see his directions from the Word of God, and then we see his devotion or his duration. How long does he look at the Word of God? Does he dread it? Does he just do it flippantly because he has to and run on with his day? No, the Bible says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate day and night. The word meditate comes from a word that means to moan or to growl, or it's almost like an uttering and a musing. It's like a lion when he sees his prey, and that lion gets over his prey, and you hear that roar. It's like that low rumbling thunder throughout the hillside, and you hear it just on and on and on and on. To meditate is to contemplate. It is to bring something up again, to remember it, to dwell on anything or any thought, to contemplate. It's the idea of studying or to revolve a thought around or over in one's mind, to bring that subject up again and think on it. You read the Bible in the morning, and then you read it at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. or whenever you got up, and then you went to work. And as you're at work, you're down there in the machine, you're working, and about 8:30, quarter to 9, God brings that Scripture to mind, and you begin to meditate, you begin to muse, you begin to roll that thing over, and it revolves over in your mind. And you don't push it to the side. You dwell on it. You want to hear from it. You crave it. And then you get another opportunity and you go back to the Word of God and you begin to read and you begin to rehash. And that's why a Scripture memorization is vitally important to the health of a Christian. Hide God's Word in your heart that you not sin against Him. And you can't, listen, you can't use it if you don't have it. So you get in the Word of God, the Word of God gets in you. You know, His blessed man. His life is a life that is devoted to the Word of God, and over and over and over again throughout his day, he brings up what God's Word said, how God spoke to him through his Word, and he goes over and over and he studies on it, and he thinks about it, and he contemplates it, and he dwells on it. Ladies and gentlemen, what delights us will direct us, and thus it will direct our lives and our destiny. If you don't like it, you won't spend time in it. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He goes on, he said it's sweet, sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb in Psalm 19:7. I'm talking about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm talking about, have you ever got in God's Word and thought, that's good stuff. Oh, I got to have it, man. We go down Bojangles and say, I like it. I love it. I got to have some of it. When's the last time you got in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Genesis, Job, 1st, 2nd Kings, whatever it was in the Bible, when's the last time you got up wrapped up in the Word of God and you thought, man, hey, I done went past my time. I got to go. I done read too much. I done liked this too much. And you said, man, I love it. I can't wait to get back in the Word of God. I'm telling you this morning, I'm trying to help you. If you want a blessed life, a life that's happiness, true, genuine happiness, you're going to have to learn to love the Word of God, live the Word of God, and learn it and get in it and like it, love it, and get all of it. You need it. I need it. We all need it. The happy man is delighted and directed by the Word of God. Number three, not only is his fellowship guarded, not only is his focus Godward, but number three, his fruit is guaranteed. I like verse number three. He shall be, watch this, he shall be like a tree. How's he like a tree, preacher? He's situated. He's planted. A tree has been planted. There's a root system. You are rooted spiritually. I don't have time, but Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 talks about that man whose roots go down by the water. And listen, the idea of this man who's in the Word of God and he's delighting in the Word of God. He's not messed up in the world. He's not yoking up with the world. He's not being influenced by the world and the world system and everything that the world tries to offer him. But rather, he wants to know, what does God say about my life? What does God want me to do? How does God's Word tell me to live my life? And that man is spending time in the Word of God, and he's digesting it, and he's living it, and he's obeying it, and he's going with what God says. That man will be a man that'll be like a tree. He'll be planted. He'll be situated. He'll have a root system and not be blown away. Not only is he situated, but he's saturated. He said he's planted by the rivers of water. The rivers of water. You put a tree out in the desert, it has not much water to draw from. It may dry up and die. But you put a tree by a river and you let that tap root go down and you let all those other roots go off to the side. And you ever been down by the river where the trees grow and you see sometimes that tree root comes over into the riverbed. And that tree's got a lot of water. And you know what happens when that tree gets in the water? That tree gets refreshed and he gets the food that he needs. He gets the nutrients that he needs. And it's not just the Word of God, but as he's planted by the river, that running water is a picture of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and he'll feed your soul. And you'll never know joy like you can know joy until the Spirit of God comes in your life and he starts working in your life and he gets real and near to you. And he takes the Word of God and he comes precious in your life. Situated, he's saturated, it's refreshing, it's life-giving, but he's satisfied. He is elated with honor, success, or prospering because of the Word of God. Notice this, he bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You see, patience. You say, preacher, I'm in the Word of God, but I'm not seeing the fruit. He said, in his season. That's at the opportune time. That is at a time that is just right. We've got to be patient. You be in the Word of God. That's why he said day and night. He's meditating. It's day and night. It's not a one day. It's not a one night. But it's a day in and day out. Night in and night over. It's a life of devotion. And that faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. So as patience, we see the patience of this blessed man. He's in the Word of God. But listen, the result is that his fruit is going to come. He bring forth his fruit in his season. Patience, not only that, I see preservation. He said his leaf also shall not wither. His leaf also shall not wither. God's going to protect his leaf, the fruit of his life, the evidence of life. God will preserve him. He's not going to be foolish. He's not going to be senseless. He's not going to have a life that's fading away. Things that happen today and gone tomorrow. No, he's going to have a life that is built on and based on the Word of God. And because of that, it's going to have a life of joy that's lasting and the prosperity. It's not just money, but it's the materials that God gives him from the Word of God to live a life that is pleasing to God for the glory of God. And he said, not only will his leaf not wither, that's preservation, but he said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a promise. I know we don't like to hear about prosperity. We don't preach the peace and prosperity idea that the world and these false heretics teach, but I'm telling you that if you neglect this, you'll neglect the Word of God. God said you can have a life that is ruined. You can have a life that's not going to stand in the judgment. You can have a life that's going to perish, or you can live your life according to the Word of God, and you can have the promise of prosperity. That is advancing, making progression, being profitable, to go on, to succeed in life. I don't know how many of y'all are interested in a dead-end life ruined with a life of disaster. How many would be interested in that this morning? I want to live my life and do it my way, and I just want to make my own choices, and I want to let the wind blow me whichever way I go, and I want to take my chances, preacher, and see how I end up. How many would be interested if God said, I had a proven path? And this path to keep you out of destruction. This path to keep you out of despair. This path to keep you from doom. This path to keep you from loss. This path to lead you to a life that'll be a life of fruitfulness and prospering.
And we're not talking about money once again. It may be money. It may be way more than that. Talking about joy and happiness on the inside that's genuine and lasting. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The blessed man is the happy man. He lets God's word be the final and the total authority for his life. It's not merely a recommended book. It's a required book for his life. He relishes it. He rejoices in it. He relies in God's unchanging, unwavering promises. He realizes that God's word shows him the plan for his life. He asks God to use his word to speak to his life. He craves God's word in his life. He follows God's plan and God's pattern. He has the path laid out for him that God's word has given him. God has designed it. God has declared it. And God has dictated a path for his life. And this man chooses to follow it because he's meditating in the word of God. And thus he reaps the rewards and the blessings of a happy life. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. It goes on, and I don't have time to go into verse 4 through 6 much. But he said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The ungodly are not settled. They're not stable. They're not fruitful. And one day, they'll be unknown. But you can be the blessed man. You can be the blessed lady this morning. The ungodly, they don't believe, they don't behave, they don't belong, and they will not be blessed. Like the man who meditates on the Word of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this morning this. A true, happy, joyful life is a life that is founded on, based in, saturated in the Word of God. You'll never know what God has for you. You'll never experience the blessings God has for you apart from spending time in, listening to, learning, studying, and obeying God's precious Word. It's one thing to stand up and say, I believe that King James Bible. My question is not what you believe about the cover. What do you believe about the content? How precious is the content? The cover's pretty precious to me. I'm thankful for the King James. Amen. I said this on the first Sunday of January 2019. I'm thankful for the King James, inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're not changing the cover. But I am encouraging you to get past the cover and get in the content. Make this year a year that you get in the Word of God and read it. You may read a chapter a day or 10 chapters a day, but read it. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. Get God in your life speaking to you afresh and anew each and every day of your life. And I promise you, if you will learn it and you'll live it and obey it, you'll be like this man. You can say, oh, blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Oh, how very happy is the man. Because he doesn't walk with the world. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinner. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. I wonder if you love it. Do you love God's Word? Don't answer me out loud. Ask yourself, when's the last time you picked it up outside of church? You can't be saved without this Word. Are you listening? Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You can't be saved apart from the Word of God. And you cannot live a successful Christian life apart from the Word of God. And I'm afraid that a lot of people get saved and they get saved, and they're happy to be saved, and they talk about what a happy day, and thankful for a happy day. But too long, they leave their Bibles. And they sing, there's a family Bible on the table. Get it off the table. Put it in your lap and read it. Get it in your heart and live it. And you will reap the benefits. You will reap the blessings. How happy! How very happy. Blessed is the man. Father, in Jesus' name, help us this morning. Speak to our hearts and lives. Lord, I don't know who's here this morning, who's not here, but Lord, you know the hearts. There may be some this morning that's not saved. I pray, God, you'd speak to their heart, show them the need of a Savior and a Lord. And then, Lord, I pray for Christians that are here. God, I pray you challenge us. Lord, you can make a difference in our homes. You can make a difference in our lives. The directions we go. The results from the decisions that we make. If we get in the Word of God. I pray, speak to us. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.